Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode number 9 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb. And Sean Orford, say hi, Sean.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing?
Can you believe we're at 9 episodes
in
already?
It's amazing, isn't it? Incredible.
It's cool. And we're getting quite a few listeners now, which is exciting, but also I feel kind of as if we've got to deliver more and more each week. But
yeah.
We're pushing ourselves, hey?
And it's lovely seeing people popping up from all around the world, especially the States. So hi, everyone in the States.
Indeed.
It's nice to have you on board.
A lot of US listeners out there, which is fantastic. But wherever you are in the world, hello and thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, love you all.
Indeed. This week, we're going to be doing our usual thing, talking about the news. Well, what's been caught our eye in the news, at least. We're not going to mention everything in the news because that would take forever. We're going to talk a little bit about what we've been up to. Our topic for this week is love. Is love all you need? And we'll have about 15 minutes to crack that one. So, again, no problem. Then we'll mention a quick resource of the week that you can go and have a look at. And then we'll let you get back to your busy, hectic lives. So let's crack on. Sean, what's been going on in your world this week?
My world is a pretty good world. The bit that I'm really impressed with myself about is I've actually managed to keep up my running regime on my Couch to 5K program.
Fantastic.
And I will be up to running 25K at the end of the week, which I'm very impressed about. The trouble is each time I get to the end of a run, I expect champagne and people clapping and stuff like that. And the other morning, 5:30, I finished my run, and all there was this old guy with a little dog who said, "Morning." And that was it. Yeah.
That's enough. That should be enough.
That's okay. Yeah. The other thing in my world is that Robert, my son, is 25 this week. Can't believe that.
25. I'm sure he has more than one birthday a year. I'm sure.
He has an official birthday. So every day is a birthday for Robert. Yeah, and that's cool. So we're spending some time with him, and that's lovely. It's lovely to acknowledge his birthday and his time with us. That's good.
Very good. Well, happy birthday, Robert, for tomorrow, is it?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Robert. I've had a great week as ever. The sun's beating down in the UK, which is, well, we've talked about sunlight in episode 1 way back when.
Yeah.
It's amazing what an impact a couple of...
Yeah, that's
days,
why I'm running
weeks.
Early in the morning, because it's too hot during the day.
So. Yeah, too hot. It's what, like 23 degrees here, tops out.
It hit 30.
Did it?
Did.
Yeah. Blimey, okay. Well, that's pretty warm.
Yeah.
My brother lives in Madrid, hi Al, and I check the weather there every now and again, and I think it's 38 peaking there in the day.
Yeah, that's hot.
I spoke to someone at the weekend who's got a family member in Afghanistan, working for the military over there, and it tops out at 47 degrees.
Wow.
Camp Bastion. So, yeah. And because of the cutbacks and all this recession lark, they're kind of a bit stingy with the air conditioning.
Yeah.
So they only have the air conditioning on a few hours a day. So you think it's hot here? Try that. Try Afghanistan. A serious bit of heat and the other serious things that go in there as well. We won't go into that. I've had a good week. I had some sad news though. A lady, a kind of distant family member, passed away this week. I don't see her that often, but she's the kind of lady that when you meet her, she had this kind of glow around her. So she was, you know, well into her 80s, so it wasn't unexpected. It's still sad when you hear things like that, and it's bittersweet because obviously we'll all come to the end at some point, and she's left the kind of trail behind her that you would want to. She left a real good legacy, and she'll be well remembered. So
Celebrate a life rather than mourning a death. Perhaps.
Indeed, yeah. So here's to Olive.
Okay,
nice lady.
Wherever you are, Olive. Good luck.
Yeah, that's our week. But what about the rest of the world? Caught your eye in the news, Sean?
I got two bits of news. The first bit of news is there's a lovely guy I got to meet recently called Tom Boone, who's doing work with Raleigh International, and they're out in Borneo trying to build kindergartens for young children. I hadn't realised before he introduced me to the idea, but children cannot get into the education system unless they can pass a literacy and numeracy test. And that means little tiny kids that are kindergarten age. And because there aren't the facilities, it means that children are being denied the possibility of education. So the work they're doing is about building kindergartens to give kids opportunity. So I'm going to put the details up on the site. And if anybody would like to get involved in that, please do.
It's Tom Boone, doing some good work, eh?
Yeah, really good. Second bit of news I just need to get in is that I keep getting feedback that my shirts make a noise. When I'm doing these broadcasts, I get creaking, rustling noises. So I'm trying different shirts. So I've got a soft cotton shirt on today, so please give me the feedback. I don't want to have to sit here naked, so I don't rustle.
Yeah, we don't want that. We don't want that.
Yeah, but just tell me if I'm rustling.
Yeah, it's okay. So far so good, because I'm the guy that edits all these. Yeah,
so you're listening to it.
I hear everything.
So I'm going to put this piece of paper down now, because I'm going to rustle. So.
I might even edit. I'll leave that in. That wasn't too bad.
Okay, all right. Okay. What about you? News for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a bit unplugged from the news, because up in Northumberland we didn't have any Wi-Fi, which was brilliant. So, but I've come back to some news about all this Twitter abuse stuff that's raised its head again. Online bullying and what have you, and whether it should be Twitter that deals with it or whether it should be kind of a self-policed thing, which I'm kind of more on that side, really. I don't trust the government or anyone to do it. But in your line of work, Sean, how much is online abuse a part of what you deal with? Is it more?
It's quite big, yeah. There's a colleague I work with, Debbie, and she deals with Facebook bullying, mainly in schools. And it's a big, big issue.
Right.
Big issue.
Yeah, I kind of missed out. I feel fortunate, actually, that I was at school late 90s, where I finished at school, before Facebook and all that, and I'm quite thankful, because I'd imagine if you're at school now, you'd have to be friends with everyone in your class on Facebook.
Yeah.
And if you weren't, you'd feel a little awkward about it. Maybe you'd have to be friends with everyone in your whole year group, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, it's very difficult, and there are lots of kids that are marginalised in that.
Yeah.
Which is what Debbie deals with. But yes, a big issue, big area.
Yeah.
But the issues that come up on Twitter this week that are about gender abuse, really, which feeds back into the other stuff that we were doing previously about this idea about men need to really reevaluate their relationship in society. They've never done it. Mm. And this Twitter stuff is a direct reader of that kind of thing for me.
Yeah. I guess ultimately, I mean, sites like Twitter, and it's not just Twitter, there are plenty of other places where people can have a go at each other. I mean, yeah. It's just bringing things to the surface, isn't it? These are previously people have had these thoughts but not been able to air them, but they still have been having them, so just...
Yeah, but it, as a society, you can't uninvent something.
Mm.
You can't uninvent the book, you can't uninvent the computer, you can't uninvent the internet.
No.
And as a society, we need to learn and evolve emotionally to deal with these new things that are happening.
Yeah.
You can't take them away, but we need to use them positively and creatively.
Exactly. And there's plenty of good things going on Twitter.
Yeah.
As you and I show.
On every day.
Every day. Well, I do. You're not so good.
I'm getting better.
Good stuff. Okay, let's move on to the topic of the week, because this is a big one. The title I've put is Love All You Need? And it was kind of triggered by thoughts from myself. You know, if it is all you need, then how can we spend so much time doing other things? But we'll go deeper. Sean, and I'd like you to start by kind of describing what you think love is and how there are various categories of love, are there not?
Yeah. The idea of love for me starts off with what I see as the two energies in the universe, which I suppose you could call yin and yang. So love is the force of attraction that pulls things together, and hate is the thing that pushes things apart. And yet, strangely, as human beings, we don't like to use those words. People don't like to use the word hatred. Very few people will say to me, I hate somebody else. They will talk about strong dislike rather than hatred. And it's the same with love. For someone to commit themselves by saying, I love you, can be a big deal. They might say, I really like you a lot. You're the best person I've ever met. But to actually commit by, I love you.
Yeah.
And then the other side of that, I suppose, is when people are saying love in a repetitive way, which maybe we'll come back to and look at in a minute.
Indeed.
Yeah. If you look at the categories of love, in Greek, classical Greek, they had six words to describe love. So eros was sexual love, as in, I want your body. Storge was more of a companionship, friendship, sensual kind of love. Ludens was fun, shared experience, having a good time together. Mania is the guy diving through the window with the rose between his teeth, very passionate.
Yep.
People that are pounding the pillow when they're in bed, that kind of thing, shouting out loud. Pragmaticos is the arranged marriage. And agape is the kind of situation which is a deep, sensitive, intuitive love. And you look at the mixtures, so that classically in our society, Prince Charles was seen to marry Lady Diana in a pragmaticos way. She was someone who was provided to provide the next heir, really. But his eros, his world of real relationship, was tied up with the lady who's now married to Camilla Parker Watson. There was that mismatch going on.
Yeah.
So perhaps there are different kinds of love that we express in different ways. If you look at the Ayurvedic model, they'd stick to on top of that. So there would be the tantric love, which is the up above the agape. And then above that would be a total love, which would be ashtanga, an integral love, a love of all things, rather than individual love.
Wow.
So the issue for me is when someone says, I love you, what do they mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've started looking at this in a very simplistic point of view, and I quickly realised that there's a lot more to it. I started thinking about, okay, love's all you need. I love my wife very much, so why do I spend so much time working? But when you start to look at it, I think that, okay, well, I'm working so hard because I want to show my love for my wife in that kind of way and, you know, give us a kind of lifestyle that we both want. So the two are connected, and you've talked about this elasticity that brings people back together a lot, don't you?
Yeah. The elastic love. When you love somebody, at any type of love, any style, it's as though you connect a piece of elastic, and if you pull that elastic, then it brings you back together. So that, to me, the dance of a couple, it's like you and B, you both go off in the day and do your work, which pulls the elastic, and at the end of the day, the elastic pulls you back together, and there's that energy between you. And that's the magic. It's the magic dance of love, as you go off and you live your individual life, that pulls you back to this collective life. And as you build your family and you've got Will, it's like his elastic is connected in as well. So we've now got a three-way dance going on.
What happens then when the elastic breaks? Not that it's going to for myself, Will and B, of course, but you must have dealt with people where that elastic has snapped.
Well, the elastic, if it snaps equally in the middle, then both people get a slap in the face as the elastic bounces back, which is the shock that happens after separations and divorces. Sometimes people have resolved their own issue, so the snap of elastic is very close to them, and they get a little bit, and the partner gets the majority of it, and they're very, very hurt by it. So the elastic has a dynamic function. But there's an opposite to that, which is hatred. And hatred to me is like a spring. If love is like an elastic that pulls things together, hatred is a spring that pushes things apart.
Yeah.
But the issue is you can't have one without the other. And one of the models I like is that if you look in the human body, which is always a good reference point when you're trying to understand how things function, if you look at bones, for instance, there are two agencies at work. One is osteoblasts that are breaking down all the old useless tissue and dumping it. And there are osteoclasts that are building all the new tissue coming in. Now, for us to be healthy as individuals throughout our lives, there's things that we need to break down and get rid of that are no longer any use to us, which could be attitudes, ideas, behaviours, habits. They could even be people that we need to get out of our lives. And there's new things that we need to bring in.
Yeah.
So to me, rather than talking about in terms of love and hate, I like to talk in terms of attraction and repulsion. What is it that attracts us and what is it that repels us? And the attraction side is the bigger issue that we would talk about in terms of emotional love and our connection with a partner or with a family. And at the other end, the things we want to get rid of in the extreme become the hatred, which are the things about wars and negativity that goes on.
Yeah. So, how important is, we'll call it repulsion as opposed to hate, because hate's a nasty word, nasty, horrible word. How much, you need a certain amount of repulsion then in your life to achieve the highs of love, don't you?
You have to have the concept within you of being able to discard the things that don't serve you well. And at the extreme, it's this issue for me about why do people change? And people change for one of two reasons. Either because they feel that level of awareness and the need to do something, or they feel the level of pain. And the pain part is the negativity bit. The things that we need to get rid of are the things that don't serve us well, the things that cause us discomfort or pain. And they could be physical, emotional, cognitive, they could be financial, they could be people. It doesn't matter what it is. It's identifying the things that don't serve us well. And like the osteoblast in the bones, actually gathering up all that stuff we don't need and dumping it out of the system.
Yeah.
So that we can be emotionally healthy and attracting the things that we do need.
Mm.
One of the things in that has to be, how do you know that you're loved? Because that's a key. I could love you to death, but if you don't feel my love, if it's not received, it's meaningless, isn't it? So the issue about loving and being loved are different.
Yeah.
And there's different kinds of loves, because Ed, I love you, but I don't want to go to bed with you, okay? Yeah.
I'm glad you've got that on air. We've got that on record.
Yeah. But so there's love at many different levels. We've just been to a meeting.
A great networking meeting. Yeah, great networking meeting. A lot of love in that room, right?
Yeah. And that attractive force that was pulling all those people together was about, some of it was about need, because people needed contacts, needed business, they needed to contact people. But there was a general love about the common purpose of being there. And so it was a very good feeling, it was a good meeting.
Mm. It was. Yeah. It's interesting. And my good friend Daryl Vickers, who heads up that meeting, or did this morning, yeah, he knows about this podcast, and he's a bit kind of sceptical about all this
stuff. Hi, Daryl.
Yeah, hi, Daryl. Yeah. But yeah, there was a lot of love in that room of a certain kind, hey?
Yeah, yeah, very, very positive.
A lot of good energy.
But one of the things about being British is we're embarrassed about admitting this things like love. You know, we can say, yes, it felt very good, but the idea of actually saying, no, this was a love feeling.
Yeah.
A bit embarrassed to do that.
Maybe next, well, 2 weeks we're meeting again, aren't we? Should I stand up and proclaim my love to all the other members of the group?
Yeah, I'll be there. Down. I'll be there.
Daryl won't be there next time, actually. So, Daryl, yeah, you won't have to.
Yes, yes. He'll be in Marrakesh, I think.
He will, yeah. Lucky boy. Yeah. Lucky boy. So, when we say I love you, it's usually to our partner, isn't it? I guess there's various connotations to what that means. And
I think that's a real thing. I mean, anyone that's listening to this now, I think that when you go back to your partner or whoever and they say to you, I love you, the thing that you should ask is, when you said you loved me, what did you mean when you said that? And equally so, if you're going to say, I love you, maybe you should be telling them what you mean when you say that. Because love is such a strange word. It's, I'd love a cream bun. It's an odd kind of thing, isn't it?
I can, made me hungry now, Sean. Yeah, but one of my daily habits, I mentioned it a few weeks back, on a Lyft app for iPhone, one of the things I check off every day is to tell my wife I love her. So I guess the danger is that it could become a habit that I don't think about too much and I say it just for the sake of it. Maybe I should upgrade the habit a little bit, so to explain why it is that particular day.
Yeah, maybe the thing is, I'll experiment with this between now and our next podcast.
Yeah.
Every time I text Ree and I say, I love you, Ree, maybe I will define what I mean when I'm saying it at that moment. Because maybe at different times when I'm saying it, there's different things that I'm expressing, but I'm just using this one word, which is kind of bland, isn't it?
Mm. So you text Ree every day saying, I love you.
Yeah, each day.
Is a text message, I love you, okay?
We do the how you doing, how's your day going stuff, and that's quite good because we're obviously working in different places.
Yeah.
And sometimes days are difficult. And there's always an I love you bit in there, and maybe that needs to be defined. I'm going to play with it. I'm going to see how that
goes. Let's have a play. I will experiment as well. And yeah, I didn't know you could say I love you by text. I didn't know if it counted or not. And actually,
who's counting?
Well, I'm counting, you see. I think I've said it 160 times since I've had the app on my phone, which is a lot of good energy there. But I think yesterday I'd forgotten to say it. I hadn't checked my phone and, you know, I hadn't thought to say it. And by the time I got round to it, Bethan was asleep. So I said it, but I'm not sure if it counts because she didn't hear it.
Well, maybe she felt it.
Yeah.
There's an issue here for me. Like the amount of guys that come into the consulting room and they'd say to me, my wife says I don't love her. And I say, what's going on? And they say, she says that I never tell her. And I say, well, did you tell her at any time? And they say, well, yeah, I did. I told her when we got married. How long ago was that? It was, 15, 20 years ago. Have you not told her since? Well, I didn't think I had to because I hadn't changed my mind. And there's that sense. So I'll say to them, have you ever thought of buying her flowers? And they say, that's a good idea. And they get out their diary and write down every Friday, flowers, 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 flowers. Now, the thing is, does the woman, if she gets the flowers every Friday, does she feel that that is just a repetitive gift, like it's something written in the diary, or is it something that's felt? Is it a heartfelt thing?
Mm, yeah, I mean, thinking about it again, using myself as an example, and Bethan is going to hate me for all this stuff.
Hi, you, Beth.
Hi. She does listen to the podcast. She tends to listen to it as she's going to sleep.
And does it put her to sleep?
Well, we're 22 minutes in by now, so she will be asleep by now, so she won't be listening to this part. The podcast, I can say whatever I want. But yeah, I guess you can say I love you in various ways. I can say it literally, and it won't always have the impact, say, as a nice meal that I've cooked for her will do, or flowers, which I don't do as often as I should. There's a million and one ways that you can say I love you, Anna.
Yeah. I think for me, food is a good thing. I mean, you know, I'm into cooking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and food, for me, is an expression of love, whoever you have with you. I mean, it's lovely to create a meal for Ree, and it's a meal where it's just us two. That's a lovely thing. And everybody that comes to the house, the thing is, you know, would you like a sandwich? It's, can I feed you? And that doesn't mean I'm a feeder and everyone's fat. But there's that sense of the love of nurturing other people.
Yeah. And for our business contacts, maybe I love you is a business referral, you know.
Yeah.
Can you do this job for this friend of mine to say, you know, how much I appreciate you? And I guess our listeners out there, if you love us, you can listen, leave us a 5-star review.
Yes, yes, and then we'll love you too.
Yeah, yeah, no pressure, no pressure. So, I mean, yeah, getting the listeners involved here, what does I love you mean to you? How do you say it? In what ways do you express it? How often do you express these feelings? Let us know. Get to the website, liveinthepresent.co.uk. Find the show, this episode page, and go in the comments and let us know, because, like I say, there are a million one ways that you can say I love you, but I only know maybe 15 or 20, and let's share the love, eh?
Does I love you mean I want your body? Does it mean I want your money? Does it mean I want to look after you? Does it mean I want to share my money with you? What does it mean?
Mm.
A million ways of saying I love you.
So the question, is love all you need? ? Is a tricky one. There isn't a definitive answer, but we're all searching for it in one way or another, aren't we?
If love is the force of attraction that brings us together, then to acknowledge that sense of attraction, then we must also acknowledge the opposite, which are the things that we're getting rid of. That I'm going to use the word hate, as in a repulsive force. I don't mean a totally destructive, I'm going to kill everybody kind of force, but whatever word we want to use for hate. But if you think of attraction and repulsion, you're going to be somewhere around there.
Yeah.
In a Buddhist world, the idea would be that you live a flat life, that there is no up, there is no down, so there is no attraction, there is no repulsion. That in that sense, you're neutral. From my point of view, I think I said it before on another podcast, is I want a bit of up, I want a bit of woo, I want a bit of the good stuff, which means I accept the fact there's going to be a bit of down. And that's the flow of life.
And if you look at successful people, in quotation marks, it's often easy to forget that the toil and the hard work that they've gone through to get where they are, isn't it? And, I mean, if you read the average business biography of some guru, they will have gone through a hell of a lot of bad times to get to the good ones. So you need to accept the bad stuff. And I guess some people are better at dealing with the bad than others, right?
If you can start to see the bad stuff as good, productive, if you can see it as part of an essential in achievement and getting where you need to be, then maybe if we learn to love our hate, as it were, we start to balance it rather than seeing it as a negative. If we see that those issues of the bad things that we need to get rid of, and the good things that we need to bring in, so attraction and repulsion rather than love and hate, maybe the balance is better.
Oh, yeah, you could be onto something there. Mm. I think that's a good way to sum up then. So, yeah, learn to accept and love the negative things.
Yeah.
And appreciate them.
If those negative things are learning points, then we're in that classic position where we don't have problems, we have challenges, we have opportunities.
Yeah.
So that the negative in itself becomes positive.
Marvellous. Okay, interesting. I'm sure this has, again, had you screaming at your earphones for various times when you've wanted to chip in. Head to the website, liveinthepresent.co.uk, and get some feedback on the go, and we'll get a bit of dialogue going. We'll do our best, or we will reply to every comment on the website. So you can really get talking to us. Don't be shy. Head over there and get involved. Let's move on to our book or resource of the week, Sean. What are you going to talk about?
And I'm going back to Headspace, which is something that's been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
Andy Puddicombe, lovely guy. He's been developing this project for a few years now. I understand he's over in LA, I think.
Is I think he's, yeah, he seems to spend quite a chunk of time over there now.
The whole Headspace, you get it as an app, but you can go on to www.getsomeheadspace.com and you can download it onto anything. It starts off with Take 10. But Andy is a fabulous guy. He explains things in such an easy-to-use way and has created a lovely program that teaches people to be able to sit and clear their mind. And from my point of view, psychotherapeutically, most people's problems, and certainly the negativity stuff that we're talking about, comes from rumination. And if we keep ruminating all the time and going over and over stuff, we get more and more negative. What you feed grows, what you starve dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the issue, it doesn't matter what it is, it could be hurt, loss, grief, bereavement, jealousy, anxiety, panic, anger, whatever's going on. If you keep focusing on it and ruminating, it just gets bigger and bigger in your mind. So I love Andy's work. And if you haven't tried it, head over to get some Headspace and try the Take 10. Wonderful exercise.
Yeah, it's great. The design of everything is really well thought out as well. Yeah. Lovely little animations. And
yeah, easy to use, very, very informative, fabulous.
Very good, very good. I'm going to talk about an app as well. It's an app only. It's an iPhone app, so sorry for all you Android guys out there, but I'm sure it'll come your way at some point. And it's called Everest, everest.com for more information. I've mentioned, obviously, Lyft app in the past about building habits. This is an app which helps you live your dreams, and it helps you plan step by step to get to a certain goal in your life. So it's called everest.com, obviously, so the analogy there is to climb Everest at one point. I don't know how they got that domain, everest.com. That must have cost them some money on its own, because it's a nice domain name.
Yeah.
Again, beautifully designed iPhone app, and you can add your own goal, and then you can plot stages to get there, and you can, along the way, you can take photos of. So let's say you are wanting to climb Everest. I guess you could add that as a big goal. And then you could start to track your progress and add little mini goals along the way. Because we all know that to get to a big goal, you've got to take those little footsteps along the way.
Yeah.
So to get to Everest, for example, you've got to achieve a certain number of big peaks before that. You've got to learn mountaineering techniques. You've got to get yourself in condition. And this app will help you do it. You might not want to climb a mountain. I guess goal setting, one of the important things is not to follow other people's dreams, isn't it? And it's quite good at that. You can search for what other people are doing, and you can find something that you want to do. Great little app, beautifully designed, everest.com. See the show notes for more information.
I'm downloading it as we speak.
Oh, wow. Good going. Maybe in future episodes we'll talk about little goals that we've set, or big ones.
Yeah. I've got some.
Using the app.
Yeah.
Good team as well. I've actually had a couple of tweets, a conversation with the guys that have built it. So really nice guys, and they've I think they're building a good little good tool there. I think that sums it up for this week, Sean.
Yeah, that's cool. That's good.
Very good, very good. Go to our website for more information, liveinthepresent.co.uk. Next week, we are going to be talking about forgiveness and how do we forgive the unforgivable. Okay, so we're going to be going quite deep on some pretty serious themes about how to get over pretty horrific things, you know.
Deep hurts.
Because, I don't know, hatred. Some people seem to kind of feed off the hatred of certain things that have happened to them, which is easy to do. And it's for someone like me who has never had a huge obstacle in their life to overcome, it's easy to say, okay, we'll just forget it and move on. But they've got to, haven't they?
Yeah.
That's next week.
I don't know where they got to, but they need to.
Yeah, they need to. True.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's us. Liveinthepresent.co.uk for more information and to re-listen to this show. Get involved by leaving some comments on the page for this show. And we shall speak to you all again next week. Say goodbye, Sean.
Goodbye. You take care.
Goodbye, world.
Bye.
See ya.